So good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the first Essendon Big Footy podcast for 2015. I'm Bonser 34, and I'm joined by the overlord of the Essendon board, and that is Doss. How are you going, Doss?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm good. And also joining us is another well-known Essendon poster in Eath Dog. How are you going tonight, Eath?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Pods.
So, boys, we'll jump straight into it. Now, for those who have been living under a rock, unfortunately, we did get rolled over in Subiaco by Fremantle. I didn't actually get to see the game, but Doss, what were your thoughts coming out of that one?
My thoughts were that the margin probably flattered us. Look, I didn't expect us to win, so I wasn't the slightest bit surprised. The same problems that I thought were likely to occur did. That's mainly that our ball movement is just very chaotic. Our entry into the forward line is just also chaotic. And we just don't kick enough goals, and we are just really missing Myers and Hocking. Look, I was glad that they stuck at it and didn't get completely blown away, and that they did, regain some pride in the last quarter. But look, we've got a lot to work on, and I personally don't think we're anywhere near it at the moment. And I suppose some perspective is needed. And Freo are an excellent side. They are the benchmark at the moment, and a lot of sides have come and played them and, come away with the worst result than a 28-point loss. So, not all hope is lost by any means, but we just look a long way off it for mine at the moment.
How about you, Heath? Do you agree with what Doss said there, or any other thoughts coming out of the
Yeah,
game?
I think it's mostly correct. I think we're also struggling with our ruck. Bell Chambers rucking alone. He's never done that in his career, and he's struggling to run out games doing it. So I think we need to bring in McKernan this week to give him a bit of a chop out, as I've been saying for a month. But yeah, that's another area of concern for mine.
I think the main thing at the moment for the Bombers is probably our forward line is struggling a fair bit, and I don't really see any easy answers. I mean, a lot of people have said, oh, we need to drop Danaher or Carlisle and just let them learn to play footy in the VFL, but I'm not really convinced that's the answer. What do you boys think?
I don't think it is either. No,
Just,
can't do it.
but the other question is, Carlisle a forward or is he a backman at the moment?
I'm not sure. Look, I think it's quite possible that he is a better backman. Problem is, so is Hurley, in my view. And I think as people said during the week, it comes down to a very simple thing when you boil it all down, and that's that Hurley is a better footballer. And Carlisle is the one who's probably going to have to work around Hurley, because I think Hurley as a backman is a tremendous asset to us. Carlisle, when he gets his confidence together, I mean, the guy in a fortnight last year, he took, what is in 2 weeks, he took 31 marks and kicked 12 goals. So he can do it, but I think, as we all know with Jake, his issue is it's very much upstairs. So I don't think he's not the most confident bloke going around, and I think when things aren't going his way, he can struggle.
What about you, Ace? Would you have Hurley forward or Hurley back?
I'd have Hurley back without a doubt.
So Carlisle stays forward then?
For now, I'd have Carlisle forward as long as we have Fletcher playing, but it is an issue that will need to be resolved. I'd really love it if he'd re-signed right now, and we can put that speculation to bed as well, because I don't think that's it helping his game anymore. And I think right now we have to persist with him forward, but going forward into the future, I think he and Danaher play very similarly as key forwards. They're both deep, trying to clunk a mark, power forwards, and I don't think that is sustainable, because we rarely see them both have three goal games. I think we've never seen that before in the same match.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I can't recall them ever both dominating at the same time. I suppose the problem with we keep Carlisle forward as long as Fletcher's playing. I mean, Fletcher's probably going to outlast Carlisle the way he's going. So I don't think we're ever going to have to worry about where Fletcher goes. The other thing about Carlisle and Danaher, and you made the point before too, Heath, with Bell Chambers, is I've noticed Bell Chambers, when he's forward, seems to just drag his man to the contest. A few times Carlisle, Danaher will be one out and in the good spot, and next thing you know, Bell Chambers has come flying over the top with his man to make it a bit more contested. So is Bell Chambers really an asset resting forward, or where do we rest him?
I'd say we rest him forward, because I think he's a good contested mark, and I'll back him to mark that long ball if he gets a run and jump at it 9 times out of 10. And I think at his best he could be a 30 to 40 goal a year forward ruck along with McKernan, but it all depends on who else is up there as well, I guess.
See, the main thing that I liked about seeing Langford against St Kilda was I liked the movement that he brought to the forward line. I liked the way he went on his legs and provided something different, I think, yeah, for our forward line. And I know our forward line overall that day worked particularly well. We still only kicked 11 goals. But I don't know, I liked what he brought to it. So that's why I was a little bit annoyed that he was dropped. I thought he actually did enough to deserve another shot anyway. But I also thought it was sort of a change-up that might be something that we can work with in the longer term. So I was a little bit disappointed to see us go back to what had gone previously by dropping him.
Yeah, it was a hard one because he did look very good against St Kilda. And when I say very good, I mean obviously for a first-year player. But I think the problem with that is then we've got Paddy Ambrose as well. Can we really afford to play Ambrose, Bell Chambers, Carlisle, Danaher and him all forward at one time or another? That to me seems a very top-heavy forward line.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
So we've obviously had some negatives last night with surrounding the forward line. I did note that our defence again seems to have stood up and kept Fremantle to a relatively low score. Thoughts on how they went last night?
Oh, look, I think they were mostly pretty good. A couple of times, Pavlich was a little bit too good at Pavlich is a champion, so that's not necessarily a surprise. I thought there were a couple pretty rough free kicks that were given against us early on. There was one against Hooker in the first quarter that I thought was a load of rubbish. All in all, the defence is not a part of our game that I worry about. The defence is the one bit that seems to be working pretty well. I mean, not just Hooker and Hurley, but also, Bagley. Hibbert, I'm a little bit less convinced on his form this year, personally. But having said that, he's still been fairly good. Dempsey, I actually thought Dempsey was pretty decent last night, better than he was against St Kilda. Yeah, the defence is the one bit of the ground for Essendon that I'm not worried about. I think that's where we need to work from. I mean, I suppose the argument is that we're such a defensive team that maybe we're almost too defensive. And so some of the people during the week were saying, could we afford to actually change up the defence slightly, so have a little bit less emphasis on shutting down, so as to try and increase our offensive capability. But I think that's easier said than done. So I was pretty happy with the defence overall.
Hibbard's the interesting one, and you mentioned there these forms being down. I think that's got a bit more to do with the fact that we've gone a little bit more defensive this year. I know, and I understand this is not the be-all and end-all, and we shouldn't judge based on this, but if you look at Dream Team scores, Hibbard's disposal count, his points, everything's down this year as to whatever it was last year, and I think that's because we're not running and attacking from the half-back line as much as we were. And that's he was mainly the one doing all that last year. And because he's not, nobody else has really stepped up into that sort of to fill that void that he's sort of left at the moment.
Bagley has to an extent. Bagley and Hibbert are different sort of players, but Bagley, I think, has been probably more attacking than he was last year. I'm not sure if that... I've loved Bagley's year so far. I'm not 100% sure if we're any better with him attacking, though, because I think Bagley is such a good lockdown player, as opposed to Hibbert, who is... can do a pretty good lockdown job, but Hibbert's also a pretty good weapon, off half-back.
He's certainly a little bit more athletic, I think, than Bagley. He's definitely a little bit quicker.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think Hibbert's been defensively bad this year, honestly. Whenever I look at him, he's always flying for marks that he shouldn't be going for, and frankly, I'd rather him focus on keeping his opponent down. But I mentioned it in one of the player threads, but maybe we should be looking at Dempsey playing as the number one lockdown defender now. His offensive game is down and Bagley's is up, so why not put Dempsey on the most dangerous small forward and get him to focus on that.
I think the problem with that is Dempsey's run and carry when he's up and about is way too valuable to waste as a lockdown. When he actually has a bit of, I suppose, courage about him and backs himself in and runs and carries with the ball instead of trying to handball sideways all the time, he's also another really good weapon. So I feel like if we did something like that, we'd sort of be robbing Peter to pay Paul type scenario, and we lose a little bit there.
That's a fair call. It's a tough one. Like, our defence is fine. We've got the balance right at at the moment, and Quilt last night I thought was good again. His two games so far have been pretty solid, other than a 10-minute bat burst by Gunston. So I really like him playing seniors whenever Fletch can't get up.
Was it more Fletch couldn't get up, or do we think it was more just not taking him over to Perth?
Fletcher doesn't travel to Perth anymore. So I think we pretty much know that. I mean, the club will keep saying that it was a groin or whatever else, but I think the simple fact is that Old Man River doesn't travel. Not that far, at least. I mean, he might go to Adelaide or to Sydney, but I just don't think he does the long trip anymore.
Didn't he do it last year, or was it the year before that he went?
Yeah. I don't reckon he's been to Perth since 2013.
Yeah, and I think that was very early in the season, so that's probably why he went. I think it was round two, maybe.
I don't reckon he travelled to Perth when we played West Coast. That game, the Joe being booed game. I don't reckon he played that night either.
No, I don't think he did.
Yeah, I mean, memory's a bit hazy, but that's my recollection.
Yeah, no, he went over there in round three to play Fremantle, and that was about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon that's the last time he's been to Perth. So our last three trips, he hasn't been there now.
And then he had 4 weeks off. So that's probably a sign he shouldn't go to Perth. Although I guess the travel probably wasn't the reason he took 4 weeks off, but
yeah, no, probably not.
Midfield last night, Goddard was more in the midfield, was he, than previously?
Yeah, I think I noticed that more. He definitely had his best game of the year for mine, and was racking up the disposals a lot. But still, I'd love him to be playing off a half-forward flank and delivering it into our forward. But we can't win the ball out of the midfield right now, so we have to play him in the midfield.
Yeah, especially with the absence of Myers and Hocking. We just don't have the big bodies in there. And we didn't start too badly last night, contested possession-wise, but as the night wore on, I mean, Jove and Hebel can't do it all by themselves. Yeah, I knew that we'd miss Myers and Hocking. I didn't quite realise we'd miss them this much. I just reckon we're realising now how important those two were for the side. Without them, we are just getting smashed around the ball.
I think the thing with Myers that a lot of people didn't realise was his work around the ball was invaluable. Oh, yeah. Not necessarily getting the ball every time, but just having that big body there and putting blocks on and doing all that sort of 1% of stuff, to use a footy cliche, and we don't really seem to have anyone that can fill that void, especially as you said, Doss, with Hocking out as well.
Yeah, and Myers is also, he's got that X factor about him. I mean, if he gets the ball 60 metres out, gets in a bit of space, he's often pretty good for a goal. And we don't really have anyone else in the side who, I mean, obviously Fletcher can bomb it, but he doesn't play down midfield or forward very often. So Myers is sort of a real weapon for us in that regard. Yeah, and Hocking's just a unit, isn't he? He's probably the best blocker the side's got. And without them, we're just getting killed.
Yeah, and that might also have something to do with the speed of our play. I mean, I think at the moment, the frustrating thing for everyone is we seem to chip it sideways, move it slowly, go backwards. We don't seem to have a player that can kick it 60 to 70 metres and just clear it out for us like Myers does.
And we're also, Adam Cooney's absence is a problem too, because Cooney's a very nice kicker of the ball, and I thought in the, how many games did he play? He played two and a bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
Just in those two and a bit games that we saw, I really liked his work. I immediately was looking at him just thinking, you know, we needed another guy like this that could really split through people just with his kicking and really open up possibilities and situations to us that otherwise we wouldn't have really had. And I think since he's been injured, we've lacked that. I mean, and look, I suppose when you lose someone who's played a grand total of two games for the club, you go, well, gee, how can you really say how much you're missing them? But I just really liked what he did bring in those two and a bit games, and I certainly reckon we'd be a much better side for him being back. I can't recall, is he back this week or is it the week after?
This week.
Thank God, yeah, we really need him.
Even though he's a mature recruit and he's got the knee problems, his pace is also something that just makes the side that little bit quicker.
Yeah. Because we do have a bit of a one-paced midfield too. You know, really, Collier is the only one in that midfield who's really quick. I mean, Sarakis has got a little bit of toe, but he's... actually, there's another one. Zaka at the moment, I think, pretty clearly not fit. He was very ordinary last night. Yeah, he's well short of his best at the moment.
Yeah, well...
And I suspect he's not fit.
Well, 13 touches and, what, 3 tackles for the night, and only one mark, and that was probably his strength, was his ability to run around into space and get the marks. It is obviously a very poor return for such a senior player.
And he only got 15 against St Kilda the week before. So, you know, and Zarakis, really, you'd be hoping for more like 20 to 25 from him, I would have thought.
So I suppose the question is, Cooney back in, Zarakis out, give him a rest or drop him to the VFL?
Give him a rest. Give him a rest, I think. If he's not right, I'm not sure if there's much point playing him into the ground if he's not fit.
Yeah, I agree.
Because he's not giving as much. He's just not giving as much.
Yeah, Eve?
Yeah, I think we also have Jackson Merritt, who played last night. He was played out of position. He was racking up 30 disposals in the VFL on a wing, and last night he was just playing basically as a forward pocket, which is wrong because if Zaharakis isn't fit and we need to play him, wouldn't it be logical to play him as a dangerous forward and put Merritt on a wing? Because I really have liked Merritt's games in the BFL so far.
Merritt's an interesting one for me because remember early in the season, last season, when he played Carlton, and I think he had about 30-odd touches on the wing. And I thought, I thought to myself, you know, the younger brother's come to the club, so the older one's now arrived. He's gone, I'm not going to let the younger brother go past me, so I'll put my stamp on my game. And then they moved him, as you said, Heath, to a forward pocket last year, and he hasn't looked anywhere near like he did in that Carlton game. I mean, but then obviously we've got Jackson, who has definitely gone past him, I dare say.
Zach is way ahead of Jackson at the moment.
Oh, Zach, sorry, yeah.
I suspect Jackson will be dropped next week. I mean, I can't quite see what benefit there is to him playing in that role. I think Ethan's right. I think long-term he's going to be around the club. I think his best position is probably more in a wing sort of role. I mean, it almost maybe not completely dissimilar to what Stanton does in the longer term, or somebody who can sort of just keep running. And, you know, he might not be necessarily the most damaging with his disposals, but just someone who can sort of just keep getting it. Last night, he after that first goal, he may as well have not been there. He was invisible, really, wasn't he?
Yeah. I think Cooney will need to work his way back to fitness. So I have him as sub this week. And I still think Merritt on a wing, give him the chance next week and then drop him after whatever, but give him a chance on a wing against North Melbourne, and I think he'll deliver.
Yeah, well, I suppose the question is who teared it up in the VFL and who's going to be able to come back, I suppose. Did we play in the VFL today?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Yeah, we got up by 5 goals or so. From the radio, McKernan played well for while he was on. He got benched halfway through the third, same with Ashby, as well as Ailish and Kavanagh, who both played the full game, who are unlikely to play on Friday night unless it's sub, which would be a waste on them.
Yeah, poor old Cav seems to be on the nose. I mean, he seems to be doing really well in the VFL, but just no one's interested in giving him a run in the AFL.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that says about his future. I mean, I reckon he's been a little bit harshly treated. I mean, from what I've seen of him in the VFL, I reckon he's done enough to get a call up. I mean, especially with the absence of Myers and Hocking too. I mean, not that Kavanagh's quite the, you know, big bull that those two are, but, you know, I think we need a bit more grunt, and he's someone who could come in for that, but doesn't seem to be what Hurd's thinking. So, yeah, I'm not sure where Cav is at. Yeah.
Would it possibly be, I mean, we know he tried to get out of the club. Would it just be that they've stamped his papers, he's not going to be at the club next year, so why should we give him a game in the AFL? And maybe, I mean, if that's the case, it'd be disappointing.
It would be. I mean, Cav has limitations to his game, but I don't think he's been treated particularly well in terms of selection. And when he has been selected, I think he's been played out of position. And, I mean, for one thing, he should never have been sub ever. And how many games has he played? Is it 8 now? 9?
7 or 8, I think.
7 or 8, I mean. And out of those, he's been sub, I think it's actually only twice. I think sometimes that the legend of that does get exaggerated to the point where people say he's sub every game he plays. It's not quite like that, but I reckon the two most recent occasions that he's been selected, he has been sub, and I don't think it suits him at all. I think he's a death by 1,000 cut style player, and I don't think they're the sort you want to sub.
I liken him to not as good, but Jack Redden from Brisbane. I think he plays a very similar style to him. And I think Cav is a player that will weave through traffic. You get a clearing handball out to your merit type or whoever, and to set up a contest like that instead of just bullocking straight through like a Myers or Hawking.
Is it possible, though, that the other knock on him is obviously his pace, and we've all said that we're 2-1 paced in the midfield as it is at the moment. Is bringing him just going to further add to that?
Yeah, I'd say that's one argument, is that we're getting smashed around the contested ball, and, well, we need an inside midfielder.
Just to interrupt you there, Heath. The siren's just gone for the Carlton Brisbane game, and Levi Casbolt's in tears. So that obviously means that Carlton lost, which should help ease the pain for the Fremantle defeat, or the Fremantle loss for us.
Definitely
last night.
A nice start to the weekend, doesn't it?
It does. And there's Mick. He's looking a bit sad. He now he's swearing a bit. Unlucky Juddy. Off you go, mate. Although Juddy's going home to Rebecca Judd, so he's probably not.
Well, really? Carlton probably lose. We've had Hawthorn lose. We've had Collingwood lose. We've had Richmond lose. And we lost too. But gee, I mean, none of my hated teams won, really. So I'm not really complaining.
If only North Melbourne had lost.
Well, I don't know. To some people, so I don't, and they beat Richmond, so you know, win, lose.
I suppose that's true. I mean, there's some people that love North Melbourne, like Jade. I mean, he just thinks they're a great side.
Jade's all over them, he can't get enough of them.
I don't think I've ever heard him say a bad word about North,
yeah, neither. He's no Macaradine, though. Macaradine, always love him,
yeah, exactly. And yeah. Jade does keep his opinions to himself. He's a very quiet, shy type person, I suppose.
Jade is marked by just how understated he is. He never speaks out of turn. He never ever shoots from the hip. He's always considered. They're never emotional, and he's just a walking example of how we all should aspire to post on Bigfoot, I think.
So why isn't he a moderator yet? Come on, Doss.
He hasn't bribed me correctly.
Rightio.
Yeah. So ask Beery and Harlequin and Velvet Sledge. Ask them how they bribed me, and then ask Jay what he tried to do for me. And you know, it's just there is a wide divergence in how that all went. So he's only got himself to blame, the young kid.
I think now what to come out of that is we need to get Jade on the podcast to hear exactly what he's done for DOS to bribe him.
Couldn't imagine anything better than Jade versus DOS versus Bonser versus who's another one we can get? Someone just to shake it all up.
Do red carded posters no longer allowed on Bigfooty? Can we have them on the podcast? Because there's a female poster I reckon would love to come on and have a chat to you, Doss.
Well, no comment on that one.
All right, so back to the footy now that we've given Jade his mention, his shout out. This week, obviously, against North, Friday night at Etihad Stadium. Where do you think the game would be won and lost in, especially against North for this matchup?
Field. They've got a lot of good contested ball winning midfielders like Cunnington, Swallow, Zeebel, Bastanac, and that's their core. That's the core of their game plan. If we can break even there and make sure our outside players of like Goddard, Stanton, and Collier get the ball forward of centre, I think we can break open their midfield and hopefully be able to kick a score. But one that always annoys me when we play North is Sam Gibson. He's like a Brent Stanton clone, and he always seems to cut us up. But yeah,
Sam Wright cut us up last year, so he was another one. He, in that final, in the first half where he was completely unsighted, he then he and Ben Brown in the third quarter, they just went nuts.
Hang on, wait, we played finals last year? I don't seem to remember that. That one's been struck from the memory there, Doss.
Sorry, mate?
I said the final's been struck from the memory, mate. We don't talk about that.
No, it's not a good memory of mine either, because now we kicked the first goal in the second half, and my Geelong supporting best mate sent me a text when I was at the ground saying, so shall I get online and start buying tickets for us next week? Because, of course, it would have been Geelong Essendon. And yeah, I said back to him at the time, mate, not over yet. And then as soon as you said that, they just started coming back. And of course, you know, in the completely logical way that you do, I blamed the loss on him. And I still haven't forgiven him to this day. We lost that final because of my best mate.
Yeah, no, what I like that one. I'll agree to that.
Yep. What a freak.
Yep.
Their forward line obviously is a bit of a problem. Lindsay Thomas, for some God only knows reason, always turns up against us. Who goes to him? Do we send Bagley to him?
I think we send Dempsey to him and Bagley to Harvey, because from memory, Bagley Harvey did Wheat FA against us in round one last year when Bagley was on him, and yeah, I wanted to repeat that dose.
My only reservation with Dempsey is on Thomas is a guy who will really punish you if you give him latitude, and I just don't know if I trust Dempsey to not be a bit undisciplined at times.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Thomas doesn't mind dropping the knees and throwing the head back.
He certainly doesn't.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably send Bagley straight to Thomas and let Dempsey go to Harvey, because Harvey does run up the ground a bit more, and I do think having Dempsey up the ground, I just don't like Bagley being away from that lockdown defensive role. He did so well last year. I just don't see why we're seemingly trying to turn him into a half-back flanking, attacking type player who does the lockdown role at the same time. I think just let him play to his strengths, and that is go to someone and shut him out of the game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah.
That's fair enough.
Now, Goldstein's obviously going to be another problem for us, but do they have a second ruck other than, I mean, Ben Brown or Petrie will go into the ruck, obviously. But do they play two, or they only play Goldstein?
They only play Goldstein with Ben Brown giving chop out.
Only playing Goldstein, and I don't know if I... I mean, Goldstein is he's in sensational form, and Bell Chambers is going to have his work cut out against him, that's for sure.
So do we need to bring in another ruck, or do we just let say to Bell Chambers, this is your chance, mate. You know, you're going up against one of the premier ruckmen. We're just going to back you in to do it all night against him.
I reckon we bring in Brother of Corey and just, you know, confuse the shit out of the North guys a bit. Just sort of make them think they're looking at one of their own. Sometimes you look at Sean and you actually think you're looking at Corey. But in all seriousness, I've like to say in the last two VFL games, but I mean, according to all reports, his form has been as good as it was in the first two. But I reckon he's earned his chance, and I think we need to try something different in the ruck because it's not working. Bell Chambers, look, as Eden said, he's never had to ruck by himself before, and I'm not sure if he's quite cut out for doing it by himself.
Yeah. I thought his first half on the weekend was really good, but he faded away in the second half, like half the side did. But I think the ruck combination was one of our biggest strengths in the past 2 years when we had Ryder and Bell Chambers going. And I think McKernan's never going to be as good as Ryder. Ryder's an absolute star. But I think having McKernan and Bell Chambers as a combination is better than Bell Chambers by himself.
I just feel maybe, though, that again, we're probably sending our forward line too top-heavy. I mean, if they both play and we've got Ambrose and Carlisle and Danaher, then the ruckman's probably going to have to rest on the bench, because I don't think we can afford to have four or three of those big blokes that aren't as mobile down there, plus Ambrose at their feet, who, whilst is a fair old athlete, is probably not the nimble, quick type that we need at the feet of the big fellas.
I don't see what the problem with dropping Ambrose is. He's kicked. He's only scored in one game this year against the reigning Wooden Spooners.
That's also true. He's probably one that, I suppose, has flown under the radar a little bit.
Well, I thought Ambrose was very good against St Kilda. Yes, it's only St Kilda, but credit where it's due, I thought he was very good. Having said that, I also reckon he was pretty useless last night. And yeah, I think he's got to be on the brink. That's just my view, but I think he's got to be on the brink. We need to try something different. I think basically with the forward line, at least. Look, I know Ambrose, you know, provides the pressure and the contest and that sort of stuff, but the current setup is just not really working for us. Ambrose is probably only part of the reason for that, but he's certainly some part of it. I would be quite keen to see Langford given another go.
He's going to be one of your projects for the year, isn't he, Doss, just to keep getting him back in?
It's funny that, like, before he was selected against St Kilda, I actually, because I'd watched the VFL the week before and we played Collingwood, I was actually surprised that Langford was one brought in. I actually at the time thought that Laverde may have been getting a legitimate chance. So I think he was really good against Collingwood. And, you know, I thought Langford looked all right against Collingwood in that BFL game, but I didn't think he'd actually done enough to get a call-up. But, you know, then when I actually saw him playing, I quite liked what he did. Yeah, so, yeah, I suppose he might be one I adopt to try and get back in at some point, a cause, you might say.
Well, I think, boys, we're just about out of time. We don't want to go too long for our very first one. I'll just ask a couple of short and sharp questions for you. So, first of all, Doss, we'll go the questions to you, mate. Your tip for Friday night?
I'm going to be unpopular. I'm going to say we're going to lose by a couple of goals.
All right, mate. Well, we'll just have to get rid of you as our mod on the board now, but we'll move on to the next question.
Sorry, guys. It's been good knowing you all.
Yeah. One of the threads at the moment, and I'll ask your opinion out loud now. Masiedi versus Watson. That's Job, obviously.
Definitely Job. Yeah. I mean, look, not understating Masiedi. He was a great player for us, but Job's better.
If you could pick one player at the moment to kick a goal for your life, who would it be? From Essendon?
For Essendon or from the AFL?
No, we'll go with Essendon, mate, and good luck finding someone to save your life.
Yeah, that's right. gee. You know what? Actually, Travis Collier, he's a pretty good shot.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. He definitely, we saw that against St Kilda on the run. He was pretty handy. And last question for you, Doss. Will Wada come over the top?
I'm going to go with a no. I'm going to go, there have been a lot of voices crying out, but no, they will not.
There's still 29 hours left, mate. They could still come.
I'm counting them down.
Alrighty, so Friday night tip, mate?
Essendon by 9, as I said in the preview thread.
Masiedi or Watson?
Watson.
By a mile?
By a fair margin.
By a fair margin. Okay, Essendon player to kick for goal for your life?
I'm going to go with BJ.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. He's a very good kick of the ball. No, none of you wanted to go for Carlisle, our current full forward?
No.
I'm going to go with a no.
And Eath, will Wada come over the top?
No.
Alrighty, lads. Well, I think that'll be a wrap for tonight. So thank you very much for your time.
No worries, Bons. Yep. And thanks for doing it, mate.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
And yep. I'll look forward to doing it again soon.
Yeah, for anyone else that wants to jump on a podcast, for reasons purely due to my restrictions, I do need to do it about 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock on a Sunday evening. So if you want to jump on, just send me a PM, and hopefully we'll be able to do one next Sunday and review the big win we've had over North Melbourne. So thank you, guys.
See you later.